There we go. It took like 2 seconds. I like it. All right. This is the last Sunday morning service, this one and the ones after this one, for 2024. That's just kind of crazy. So it just doesn't seem like it. So it's going to be 2025. And so stay alive in 2025. Okay. So John chapter 8, we are finishing up on peace, and it's a word that we're going to use with peace so that we know how and why we can have peace. For me, it's been a really good study, a good reminder, and been convicted in my study time. I try not to act convicted when I'm preaching, but in my study time. So, John chapter 8, they're trying to trick Jesus, okay? And everyone went to his own house, but Jesus, that was the last one, the last 53. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he came down to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say?" And they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. I don't know why this part of the story I love so much. It's almost like, you know, nobody, it took me a while to believe this, figure it out for myself. But you know, God knows what's going on in your brain, your heart, the intents of the heart. And Jesus was God. I can fool you sometimes, okay? But the reality is you can't fool God. I used to go in when I was praying, and thou for there, O Lord, thou, thee, thou. And I'm like, you know what? Why am I doing that? That's not the way I talk to anybody else. But what's this? They're trying to catch him in something. And if you want to get somebody's attention, talk about sex. I'm serious. If you want to sell toothpaste, talk about sex. If you want, it gets people's attention. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And I had spent a lot of time in the learning about marketing years ago as part of my degree program. And I will leave out some of this, since I'm on film, but I'll just tell you this, that there was some subliminal stuff that they showed us that was put in ice cubes, pictures, weird little things that would draw your eyes to things, and it's like, what in the world? Who even thinks of this stuff? But anyway, but they're saying, we're gonna get everybody's attention, we're gonna ask about this, and we're gonna catch him in this. So the second thing in this story that always gets me, if you made a story of the Bible, it'd have to be R-rated. But you know, if you made a movie about an accurate, you know, and if not worse, but anyway, but the point being is, if that was in the act of what was going on, okay, literally, guys, what would have happened was if they just grabbed her up right then, she might have not been able to put all of her garments back the way they're supposed to be. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so she is ashamed. She is looking at the door of being stoned. She is all these things. We're in John chapter 8, by the way, guys. But in the middle of all of this, I love this part of the story. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to doodle in the dirt a little bit. Now, I don't know what he was doodling in the dirt, okay, and what he was writing. I think he was writing the Pharisees' girlfriends' names, listing them out like, oh, number one, Sally, and number two, you know, and because this gets very interesting. They said this for the purpose of trying to accuse him, okay? But then, so they didn't give up. And verse 7 says, and they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and started writing in the ground. What is he writing? Maybe some of their sins. Maybe they've gone from girlfriends to other stuff. You know, you've been stealing your neighbor's, you know, whatever. And those who heard it being convicted by what? Their conscience. In other words, they begin to see the fact that they were not worthy to judge somebody else. Okay? So, and they were convicted, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, guys, we're talking about peace. There's a lot of people right now, this minute in this world, that what one of the things that is stealing their peace is they've got to make sure that all of these people around them are straightened out on this, that, and the other. Yet, oh, I like that. Is that, what, was that a toy or is that a, oh, your phone. That's really froggy. I like that. Okay. So, but anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Literally, they can't have peace because they've got to spend their time getting you straight. Because for some reason, that they think that's their job. Okay? But that's not their job. Did you know? Your job is not, now I have a, there's positions and then there's responsibilities. I mean, I have the responsibility to bring the word of God every week here, okay? And that's my responsibilities, but my responsibility is not to examine your life and then form a sermon around that. Now I've had people come in and say, I wish you would get out of my cereal. As you walk it up, and I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, you're preaching on. I said, what? I didn't know what they were talking about. Okay. But well, thank you. I'm glad you're listening, man. Could you send a tax deductible offering to, what's wrong with this thing? Okay. Shut up. All right. I've got patience, lots of patience. It's very small. Okay. So, guys, I love this scripture, but it gives me peace. You say, why? Because, listen, we have an interweb full of people who's pointing fingers at each other. People send me stuff all the time because I guess they think I need to see it. And it's like this guy was the other day, they were preaching on the clothesline, and he was talking about women's this, tights, and I don't know what, and I'm like, oh, this, just keep going, okay. So, but I have peace because you're not my responsibility. I am responsible to you to be your brother, to be your pastor, to love you, to tell you the truth, okay? But here's the deal. You're the one. I'm not going to be standing. When you stand before God, I won't be standing there holding your hand. No. You'll be there. I can't save you. Okay. I can't redeem you. That's the Lord's job. So that gives me peace. Okay. giving grace gives me peace. And the reason that we've said this 20 times this in 2024, probably at least, the reason I can give you grace is because I have recognized and received the grace that I've been given. Does that make sense? Because I got a bunch of it. Because I'm very thankful to the Lord. Y'all think I'm kidding. The reason I'm very thankful is because he has forgiven me an enormous amount and continues to work with me and right where I am. So does everybody get point number one?
Yes.
All right. So stay out of your neighbor's business, okay? Plus, they call the police when, you know, start looking in their windows to see what they're doing. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. All right, this scripture here changed my life. I am not exaggerating at all. This scripture changed my life. And I don't mean just reading it once. I mean incorporating it in my yearly, sometimes during a year, I will go through Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, I will wade up in them. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 2, it gives me another reason to have peace. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, now think about just the first line of that. And Ewens, if you're from Missouri, okay, Ewens, okay, he made alive. Did you make yourself alive?
No.
Did you save yourself?
No.
Okay, he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, and the spirit who works now in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, as were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. But God, who is can barely have enough mercy, is that what it says? I love this word. Rich. He don't have a little bit of mercy. He don't have a little bit. He don't have just enough. Okay. What he has is he is rich in mercy. Okay. And because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You've been saved because you wear the right clothes. Now, Paisley is obviously in for the last Sunday of 2024. Okay, we got two Paisleys here. One of them won't look at me. Okay, Paisley is the word for today. Okay, all right. And, you know, there's been people preach against Paisley. That came out during the 60s. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'll save that sermon for another time. All right. But anyway, since I'm wearing Paisley, that wouldn't go over real good. Anyway, but here's the thing. By grace you've been saved. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in, does it say with? In Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. This last week, this has come to my mind over and over. When you say the words, the body of Christ, and you're talking about people, the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And don't get me wrong, the Holy Spirit does things supernaturally, draws and does everything he does, but watch this, guys. Literally, what happens is this. When we are joined to the body of Christ, we are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. We are his wallet. Okay? We are part of, and I'm not taking an offering, guys. I want to tell you that the last thing to get saved on me was my wallet. Okay? Everything else was already saved. But anyway, well, watch this. In ages to come, he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now I want you to go back to an earlier scripture and think about this right here. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. And I want to tell you something. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, died for your sins, and you take that and you accept that and you walk in that, you will have peace available to your life if you'll pull from it. You will have peace, okay? Because now, does my peace get attacked? Absolutely. Does circumstances, do limbs fall off of trees and hit my trailer in my front yard? Yes. Does people do things that irritate me from time to time? Slightly. Okay, just slightly. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Literally, if I believe what this says, is the word true? Is the Bible the truth? Yes. Sometimes circumstances don't, it's like, what? Why did that happen? If that's what the Bible says, why did this happen? God's bigger than we are, isn't he? Okay. But here's, I've told you this before. It's the gift of God, but then verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's another scripture that goes into detail about that. Literally goes into detail. And it talks about this. It says, you know, the worship of angels, the saying we can't eat this, we can't do that, this is doing all those things. It really has no spiritual value, but it causes pride to rise up because, you know, I worship angels better than you do. I come to church better. I do this better than you do. I've got my vest as an Ariat. I'm not sure yours is. I mean, literally, guys, I'm just saying, if we're not careful, it'll be, well, you know, our theology at Crane Christian Church is better than theology at the Clever Christian Church. No, here's the deal. That's not what all this is about and what all this is for. Okay. So, this Ephesians, as we keep going through this, for we are his workmanship, chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth to follow him. And I have prayer partners, people I talk to on the phone, people I spend time with regularly. And guys, this picture of selection, now, it doesn't mean we don't share, we don't preach, we don't, you know, but here's the deal. I mean, how are they going to believe if they hadn't heard the word, right? But the truth is this, it's not of works, it's a gift of God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. In other words, he opens the doors for us to do things. And we have to, a lot of times, preach it, son. Yeah, amen. We'll let you take the offering. You're excited. Okay. But anyway, the bottom line is this, guys, that we should walk with them and walk in them and walk. And he's talking to these Ephesians. And here's the deal. Verse 11, 12, and 13, and we'll quit. Okay. For therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcised. In other words, you were not part of the chosen elite of the time, okay? You know, I will never forget the first time I saw this written because I was like, what? And literally, this guy, he's an author. I'll leave his name out. Okay, I don't have permission to use it or to quote him. But the point is, he was literally making the point that when Christianity, the New Testament church, first came on the scene, do you know what it was? It was just a division of Judaism. That's why it was so confusing when those redneck Gentiles started coming in and picking their teeth during church or, you know, whatever. And they're like, you can't, because it was just a division of the Jewish religion. It was Judaism accepting Christ as the Messiah. And there was a lot of working out to do after that, right? That's why there's a lot of these little books, these lot of little letters in the back, okay? A lot of working out had to be done. But The bottom line is this, guys. As we read this, we were on one side, at the time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, look here, here we go. Not with Christ Jesus, not walking with him, but now in Christ Jesus, as part of the body of Christ. In Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Amen. That's how we're saved. He saves us. He redeems us. He paid the price for me. And listen, I was guilty. I'm guilty. And guess what? Charges were dropped because of what he did. Guess what? I owed everything. But guess what? He paid the debt. I was drowning in the ocean, in this sea of despair, and he reached down and picked me up because I'm not guilty, I'm free, and I'm saved, okay? And you go, Bruce, you're not that great of a guy. Amen? But what I am is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, okay? Do I struggle? Absolutely. Now look at verse 14. For he himself is our peace.
Amen.
That's what I wanted to make sure that we get that scripture in during this. This is the last week of this series about peace. But guys, listen, he is our peace. The story of Jesus is not our peace. It's not our peace. The religion of Christianity is not our peace. He, the person of Christ, is our peace. Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
And you can have, listen, the Jews were the most religious people in the world, I should say the world, but extreme religious during the time of Jesus, and they didn't recognize him. And they didn't have any peace because they were all about Rome's doing this and Rome's doing that. And listen, whatever the government does, they're going to do what the governments do, but I have peace in Christ Jesus, you know? And these guys that wrote these, many of these people were martyred and they had peace through martyrdom. And I don't want to be martyred. I don't even want to be talked bad about. Okay. I'm just telling you, I mean, but the reality is there peace in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Is there peace in knowing that his grace is what we have experienced and what we walk in? Okay. Last scripture, Romans 8. And I've probably used this once or twice to the thousandth power, okay? Romans 8, and we're going to start with one. One of the reasons that I can have peace. Now, I have been with people when they were put on hospice, and literally them say these words to the doctor. Well, I'm fine. I don't want to hurt, but other than that, I've been preparing for this day the rest of all my whole life. I'm ready to go. The Lord is, and I've literally heard him say those words while I'm sitting there in the chair in the room with them. I've also heard these words. Bruce, I haven't done enough. And guess what? I was so excited to be able to tell them what the Bible says. You're right. You have not done enough. But Jesus did.
Amen.
He has paid the price. Telestai. It is paid for. It is finished. It is done. Not guilty. Debt paid. Saved. Set free. So Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation who are, just know about Jesus. Is that what it says? No, in. Again, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. For the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And I have studied this 20, 30, 40, too much. Okay, a lot. So, but I want to tell you, He's talking to the Romans. Okay. So now watch this. They are living under a system of Judaism. Okay. And, well, I don't mean everybody he's writing to, but I'm talking about he's talking from the background of someone who you got to do this sacrifice. You got to do this right to this. You got to do this. And that's the law of sin and death. That has to be paid for. That's the way they did it in their own. And they did it in obedience to God as a picture of what was going to happen through Jesus. But here, that we don't ever, I'm going to tell you something. If I want to come home and see Kim, I don't just pull up a picture on my phone and say, yeah, that's good enough. No, I want to see the person, Kim. I want to be around the person, Kim. And I go to the house and so we're actually there at the same time sometimes. Okay. But here's the deal, guys. Literally, in Christ Jesus, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And don't get me wrong, the wages of sin is death. If you're doing something that is outside of what God, it will destroy your flesh. It will destroy your spirit. It will separate you from God. It will do all those things. And I don't want to ever minimize sin. But on the bottom line is, I'm free from the law of sin and death. Does everybody believe me when I say that? Mostly. Okay, full disclosure. Okay, so I'm trying to be good here. But listen, he condemned sin in the flesh, and look at 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And see, I can take that and I can say, well, you know, you're not doing this right. You're not doing this right. No, he's talking about walking in the Spirit. In other words, receive. How many of you have ever seen Jesus in the flesh? Like a 5'4", 5'6", ringlets, 32-and-a-half-year-old man with a robe on. Have you ever seen him? No. You know why? Because we worship him in spirit and in truth, okay? But I've never seen Jesus. I've seen him do things through people that you wouldn't believe through his Holy Spirit. I'm like, how did they do that? Okay, you know, I've heard people tell me that. Said, I didn't think you had it in me. I said, I don't, but the Lord does. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. We're free from that. And that gives me great peace. If you were raised a legalist, if you were raised a perfectionism, what happens is that will steal your joy, that will steal your peace. But I finished that with this, okay. Where I'm not obedient sometimes, full disclosure, guess what? He was perfectly obedient. Where I don't, not able to sacrifice like I should, he gave the ultimate sacrifice, okay? When I'm not able to meet that level of the law, sometimes I put milk and meat in the same pot or, you know, whatever. Sometimes I wear polyester or mixed with cotton. You know, when I can't reach that, guess what? He reached that. He was able to do that. When I can't, and here's the deal. My holiness is not from something I do. My holiness is something that he has paid for and that I'm receiving. And when he says, you go and you be perfect as I am perfect, guess what? He also said, let there be light. And I had nothing to do with making light. But he said, let there be light. And when he says, be ye holy, I'm going to tell you something. He's speaking that into your life today. And he is, and don't get me wrong, I'm a better guy than I was at some point along the way, okay, hoping to get better. But I want to tell you something. The reality that people are doing today where they are pounding on perfection, they're pounding on success, they're pounding on this rule or that rule, they are taking away from the glory of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 100%. So guys, I want to tell you, I have peace today, and anything that drags me away from that peace is a perversion of the truth, and not the idea that he was a good teacher. He was a good teacher. I've read everything that I've got that he's said. I like it. I read it. It's convicting. I'm just like the guys that showed up with the lady and thought, I get convicted reading the Bible. I'm like, yeah, I judged. Yeah, we shouldn't. Wanting people's red pickups that aren't mine, and you know, big diesels, you know, nice hats. So. Anyway, don't pick on anybody though. That's special. Don't pick on. All right. Well, guys, I have peace, and Christmas always brings me back to the simplicity of the gospel. That he met every requirement, every prophecy, everything that I needed to be with him forever. And my part in that is to receive it, believe it, walk in it, reflect it, and not perfectly. And I don't do it perfectly. But God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. We'll have another live stream in about 40 minutes. But let me pray before we get off here. Father, I know there are people that have suffered over the holidays, God. There's been some stuff. People have contacted me, Lord, some struggles, some things. And Father, I pray for them this morning that, Lord, you would give them peace because you are the Prince of Peace. And we love you and we await your appearing, Lord, in the flesh, and we have you here in the Spirit through the Holy Spirit, Lord. But you can come get us at any time, Lord, you want to. And the Father's the only one that knows when that's going to happen. But Lord, help us to be ready and looking out for you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.